You got your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalm chapter 71. And if you want, you can put your finger or move your ribbon over to Matthew chapter 12. We'll be there in just a little bit. Aren't you glad that we have the worship team that we have? Great job this morning, Josh and guys and ladies. We've been looking over the last several weeks about rebooting and the fact that all systems are go, that for NASA or computers or whatever the case may be, they want everything to work like it's supposed to. And everything, when it works in unison, then you can accomplish great things. We've talked about the fact that we can reboot our hearts, and sometimes the best way is just like a computer. We just kind of turn things off, start over. And that's what we call forgiveness in the life of the church and in the Christian life, and that we have an opportunity to just start over. And God says that He'll give us a new heart. We have the opportunity as well, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that we can reboot our minds, that we can just start with a clean mind and move through. And last week we talked about how to reboot our eyes and our ears. This morning we're going to look at something that probably, I think maybe for some of us, as we looked at 3 weeks ago, could use a new heart. Some of us probably could use a new mind. Some of us could use the ability to reboot our eyes and our ears. I think across the board this morning, this is one that is for every one of us. It is the most difficult, the scriptures tell us in James, to control of everything. And most of us, if we're honest, we would tell you that we are an example of what the scriptures tell us, that our mouth is a hard one to control. There are times for each one of us that we may need to reboot our heart or our mind or our eyes or our ears, but probably for each of us we could use a reboot at least weekly and probably daily on our mouths. It's not from a typical angle. Most of the time when we talk about our mouths, the preacher will preach or the teacher will teach about what we should not do with our mouths. I want to look at it from a little different angle this morning about what we should do. One of the reasons for that is I think all of us in here are familiar of the thou shalt nots, the things that we should not do with our mouth. We all are aware that we shouldn't gossip. We all are aware that we shouldn't cuss. We all are aware that we shouldn't tell lies. We all are aware of those things, and yet, to a large extent, each of us are guilty in each of those areas. But I want to look this morning at the things not necessarily that we should not do with our mouth, but the things that we should do. If we were going to simplify it, move it all down, that one thing is, I believe that with our mouth we should brag on God. The hard part of it is doing what we shouldn't do with our mouth compromises what we should do with our mouth. We should brag on God, but unfortunately, because all of us are guilty at times of doing the things that we should not do with our mouth, and in the presence of other people, because we do the things that we should not, then we kind of feel like sometimes maybe we should not brag on God either, because they have seen us in those other instances. No, the reason that it's so significant that we control the should nots, the gossiping and the cussing and the lying and all the negative things that we can do with our mouth, the reason that that's so significant is because that compromises that which we should do, and that is tell people about Jesus. Now, we get to look in Psalm this morning. One of the things that's fascinating to me, I don't know about many of you, but when I read the Psalms, sometimes they're difficult for me to read. It's almost like they're poetic, and certainly they are, but they're so positive, they're so optimistic, they're so encouraging that it's foreign to me sometimes to read the book of Psalm. With all of the negatives that King David had, I'm going to tell you, David had trouble with his mind. David definitely had trouble with his heart. But I'm going to tell you, a place where David was really good was with his mouth. And he wrote that in Psalms. The places where in Psalms, where David just brags and brags and brags on God. David had that right. And the scriptures say that David was a man after his own heart. Maybe that's the thing that sets us apart from David in so many ways, is that our mouth is not something that most of us are good at controlling. When I think about it with our mouths, we get to look at it. And when we think about studies that they do with our brains, they can wire electrodes to our brains that will light up whenever certain positive stimuli happens. It will light up certain portions, different parts of our brain, different sections. When we get a positive impulse, there are two sections in our brain that light up. If they have electrodes wired to us and we have a positive impulse, maybe we think of a fun activity that we really enjoy, or maybe we're getting to do that activity, it will light up two general areas of our mind. It's the same way if we get to eat or we think about why they're wired to us about a particular food or a particular restaurant, something that's a favorite of ours, those same two areas light up. It'll do that same thing in a lot of different illegal drugs. They light up those same two areas. It's the areas in our mind that light up when it has to do with pleasure. In a recent scientific study, that they found out that those same two areas light up in another area, and that they didn't expect, that wasn't tied together, and that is when we talk about ourselves. When they hook those electrodes up to our mind and we talk about ourselves, those same areas light up as when we're having the things that we really enjoy in life. It reminds me of a country song. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I want to talk about number one, oh my, me, my. What I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. I see some of you mouthing it out there with me. Oh, I like talking about you, usually. But occasionally, I want to talk about me. I think we're all wired that way. We want to talk about us. It's a catchy tune, and it's one that many of us are familiar with. But it's interesting when he says, but occasionally, I want to talk about me. That's not true. Most of us want to talk about ourselves more than we talk about any other thing. Scientific America magazine did a recent study, and they found out that if they took all of communication when we talk to each other, that 60% of the time that we spend talking, we talk about ourselves. They said they did that same study and they looked on social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever the case may be, and that number then goes from 60% of what we say to 80% of what we put on those is about us. The truth is, none of us want to talk about us occasionally. We all want to talk about ourselves most of the time. We all know if you want to get somebody who's kind of introverted to talk, ask them about themselves. We know that's the way our mind works. Bette Midler, in one of her movies, Beaches, said this, but enough talk about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me? We are all wired in a way to think about ourselves. And I think for us, if we're going to reboot our mouths, the challenge for you this morning, if we reboot our mouths, is this: not just to reboot your mouth, but to reboot your mouth in a way that you have a different voice. Because our voice is really who we are. Psalm chapter 71, verses 15 and 16, David says this: my mouth will tell about your righteousness and your salvation all day long. Though I cannot sum them up, I come because of the mighty acts of the Lord God, and I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Now, there are six phrases in those two verses I want us to look at real fast just to call your attention to. Number one, that he says, your righteousness and your salvation. It's like Josh said a minute ago, we sing these songs so often, we read the Bible so often, we talk about the things of spiritual origin so often that sometimes we forget how significant they are. The fact that we can have eternal life is unimaginable if you stop and think about it. But the fact that we can be righteous before a perfect God is pretty spectacular. That's Jesus stuff. The fact that we can be saved from a place called hell and receive a place called heaven, just the difference in the two is spectacular in and of itself. And the fact that Jesus lets us have heaven simply because we place our faith in him is amazing at how simple it is to move from one to the other. Our salvation and our righteousness, but to know that it's his righteousness and his salvation that comes to us. David says, all day long. I think that's an example to us about how often for each of us that we should brag on the Lord. If that's going to be our voice, it's something that we have to do continuously. It's something we must do all day long. And then he says, though I cannot sum them up. I want you to know the fact that you would say, sometimes I don't feel like I could express my joy or my excitement with salvation or with righteousness. I want you to know, neither could David. He said, it's unexplainable. I cannot sum it up. But here's what I know. The part of it that I do understand, I should be excited enough about it to tell others and to use it to encourage others. He says, the mighty acts of God. He says, I come because of the mighty acts of the Lord God. For some of us, we can't sum up exactly all of our theology about salvation or about righteousness or about atonement or all of those things that go along with it. But I do know this, for each one of us, we have mighty acts of God that have happened in our life that we can explain. All I know is this was happening and I prayed and this happened. This was going on in life and God brought me through. God delivered. God answered. We can't explain the mighty acts of God, and that is our testimony. He says, I will proclaim your righteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of proclaim, for some reason, I think of a kid selling newspapers on the street corner. And kids don't sell newspapers on the street corners anymore, but we've all gotten to see it on television and in the movies. That kid does not say, get your news. He says, get your news. Hear this. It's important. Let me tell you what happened in the world today. When we think about proclaim, I think it's something that just communicates volume. And for most of us, when we do have the courage to speak of the testimony of God in our lives and of God's righteousness and of God's salvation, it's almost like we feel like we should whisper it. Certainly we should be respectful when we speak of the things of God, but I think one of the things that is respectful is that we speak with a volume. And then he says, I will proclaim your righteousness and yours alone. You see, the study that Scientific America did says that whose righteousness we want to explain most of the time is our own. 60% of the time, what we want to talk about is us. 80% of what we want to post online is about us. It's what's going on in life. It's what pictures we have. It's where we are. It's what we're doing. It's what's coming up tomorrow. It's what our children have done or our grandchildren have done. And David says, I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Now, I know what probably some of you are sitting out there thinking. You're thinking, who does this? Who lives like that? Who talks like this all the time, every day? I would tell you, not many. Not many of us do this or talk like this or live like this. Look at, when I think about the idea of that, look over in Matthew chapter 12. When we think about the fact that God gives us opportunity to speak by Him in those first set of verses, or to speak of God in those first set of verses in Psalms, and then speech by God in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 35, it says this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good man produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil man produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. When I think about speech by God, how do we live the idea that we speak of God and of His righteousness and of His salvation all day long and of Him alone? How do we do that? It's because God gives us the ability to speak for Him. It's interesting that we are accountable and condemned, it says in those verses. It says that a tree is known by its fruit in verse 33, that the tree is known by its fruit, and it says that good trees bear good fruit and bad trees bear bad fruit. Most of us know the verse in 34 where it says that our mouth speaks from the overflow of our heart, and that a good man produces good things from a storeroom of good. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was reading and studying these verses this week, I couldn't help but think how often I say something that I wish I hadn't said. Now, probably like you, sometimes as soon as it comes out, I go, ooh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. or I wish I wouldn't have said it like that. Sometimes I don't think about it at all for an hour or two or a day or two, and then all of a sudden it comes back to me, and then I think, oh my, I can't believe I said that like that, or I can't believe I said those particular things. And it reminds me when I read in the scriptures this week that it says what's in a man's heart is what comes out of his mouth. My preacher growing up used to say what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. What's down in the well comes up in the bucket. That's why it's so significant that we reboot our hearts on a regular basis, because if we don't, the scriptures say our hearts above all else are wicked. And if we are not continuously rebooting our heart, the bad thing is the way our heart bears out is through our mouth and what we say. The scriptures say, how can you speak good things when you are evil? Well, you see, when we reboot our hearts, or for somebody here this morning, when we give our heart to Christ, and we say, I'm going to place my faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, and that He is the Messiah, and that He did die on the cross, but He is alive today. We get a new heart. The Bible says that God will give us a new heart, that He will put a new spirit within us. And that new heart helps us to control our mind and to be able to reboot our mind, that it would go in the right direction, to help us guard our eyes and our ears that we talked about last week. And when we have a new heart and a new mind and we guard our eyes and ears, it would only make sense that in the process of that, our speech would improve. One of the guys that I was reading this week says we need to talk less about present situations and more about eternal ramifications. He said that we need to talk less about fads and fashion and what's trending, and we need to talk more about the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says we need to talk less about stress and talk more about the one who says, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. We live in a world that people just have stress all day, every day. Wouldn't it be a great voice for each of us if we were constantly proclaiming that God says, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. To say to people, God is interested in you. God can help with your problems. God can solve the storms in your life. That's the thing that people need to hear. And for that, we simply need to brag on God. Look at what it says in the last set of those verses. Verses 36 and 37 says, I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. It's interesting when we think about speaking of God and speech by God, and then we think of speaking for God, it says that we will be accountable and condemned for those words. Now, what does that mean? That means those things that we talked about earlier that we know we shouldn't do, we will be held accountable for those. It's not just that we shouldn't do it. We are going to answer for those. The scriptures say that we will be held accountable for every word. For most of us, it would only fall in line there that the words we speak would be words that we would be condemned for, except for the fact that God has redeemed us. That's something that we should praise Him for. I don't know about you, but in living my life, I'm wound pretty tight, wired pretty hot. Sometimes I say things that I sure am glad that I'm not going to be condemned for. Even though I will be held accountable, I will not be condemned because I have been and will be forgiven for those things. But we will be held accountable. And it says if we don't ask for that forgiveness, that we will be condemned. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says this, the power of life and death is in the tongue. I have a friend that was an evangelist for years. He is the greatest preacher I think I was ever around. And this was one of his favorite verses. He would preach, the power of life and death is in the tongue. He would say that you have the opportunity to breathe life or to breathe death every time you open your mouth. You have the opportunity to breathe life on people, or you have the opportunity to breathe death. Unfortunately for most of us, every time we open our mouth, 60% of the times we're neither breathing life nor death. We're breathing me, and the scriptures say that we should be bragging on God. But if we'll brag on God, that is breathing life to people, to be an encouragement to them. The scriptures say, for by your words you will be acquitted. I don't know about you, but when I think about my mouth, it's easy for me to understand I'm guilty. But it's exciting to me to know that I can be acquitted, even though I'm guilty, to know that someone else, Jesus, has already paid the price for my acquittal, for my accountability, for my condemnation, for my mouth. It says the mouth speaks out of the overflow of our hearts. We read it in the verses back up above. It's so significant for us to reboot our hearts on a regular basis. I would tell you, on a daily basis. That's why it's so important that you take time every day to spend with the Lord in reading the Bible and in prayer. That's why it's so significant. I would tell you, for years and years and years, I was one who read my Bible in the evening. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'd rather that you spent time alone with the Lord in the evening than not at all. But I would tell you, when we think in terms of rebooting our heart every day, and that what's in our heart comes out our mouth, I think that's why it's significant that we do it in the morning. Now, for some of you, you go, I cannot spare another 30 minutes in the morning. I cannot spare another 15 minutes in the morning. I cannot spare another 5 minutes in the morning. If we think in terms of rebooting our hearts so that our mind is right as we go into the world, in order that what comes out of our mouth will be breathing life instead of breathing death, I think it would help each of us to know the significance of getting up 10 minutes earlier and spending a little time reading our Bible and spending a little time praying so that we reboot our hearts every morning before we get around people. That's why it's important that you do it in the morning. It's better to do it in the evening than not at all, but I think it's more beneficial the earlier that we can do it in our day, because each of us need that opportunity to reboot our hearts on a regular basis. James chapter 3, when we think about our words and our mouth, James chapter 3 tells us about a bit in the mouth of a horse or a rudder at the back of a ship, how much something small so controls the direction. We all know that's true for us. We all know that that's true for us. Proverbs chapter 25, 11 says, a word aptly spoken, A-P-T-L-Y. That means in the right time, at the right place. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't eat too often around a table that has apples of gold and settings of silver. I would expect that would be pretty fine dining. And the scriptures say the right word at the right time when we're bragging on the Lord is just like apples of gold in settings of silver. We have the opportunity to breathe life. We've all been in a place on the receiving end of that, that somebody encouraged us at just the right time or in just the right way. One of the things that's fascinating about Jesus, if you read the story of Jesus in the Gospels, and you can pick any one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and you read about Jesus' interaction with people, people were just drawn to Jesus, and one of the reasons that they were drawn to Jesus was because of the consistency between His life and His mouth. One of the reasons people were drawn to Jesus was because of the consistency between His actions and His words. We would all say Jesus was a person who lived the truth. In John chapter 3, He spoke the truth to Nicodemus when He said, "You must be born again." That's as truthful as it gets. And Jesus' life totally followed up with that. Jesus spoke to the scribe in Mark chapter 12 about love. When the scribe said, "What is it that I must do?" And Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you must love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus totally lived out that love in front of people. When Lazarus died in John chapter 11 and Jesus showed up, Jesus spoke restoration to Lazarus. He said, come forth. Now we think of restoration in terms of resurrection for Lazarus. But the scriptures say that we have the opportunity to breathe life on people. Jesus so lived that. Jesus was such the encourager, such the optimist in the way that he lived his life. His word and his actions certainly matched up. In numerous accounts, Jesus lived a life where he healed people. The actions of his life were healing. He healed people with withered hands. He healed people with diseases of all kinds. He healed people who were blind. He healed people who were lame. Jesus lived out in action the things that he spoke. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus spoke peace to the wind and to the waves. He said, peace, be still. I would tell you that there are a number of us this morning who could use peace in our lives. I want you to know, one of the reasons we don't have peace in our lives today is because we are not good at be still. Peace and be still go together. We live a life of be busy. Go, go, go. Three places at one time. Drive as fast as you can between the two. Jesus spoke peace, but Jesus totally lived peace. Upon his departure from the disciples in John chapter 14, Jesus spoke hope. He said, I will come again. I will go and prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. I must go, but I am coming back. There is a hope. That's the hope for us. But Jesus lived that hope. Jesus' words and Jesus' actions so matched up with each other that people were drawn to him. I think that's a key for us in our world today. If we can get our mouth controlled to the point that our voice matches with our action, I think people will be drawn to us. And then we will have the opportunity to brag on God and point them to him. Two takeaways this morning. For those of you that are here this morning that you have already given your hearts and given your lives to Christ, and he's given you that new heart and he's given you that new mind, you'll have an opportunity this week to speak up for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. That certainly describes our days. I think it's important how we walk. It's important what we say. It's important what we breathe life and where we breathe life. This week you will have an opportunity to speak up, to brag on the things that God's done in your life and the things that you see God doing in the lives of others. But I would also tell you, when that happens, you need to be praying now that you'll have the boldness and that you'll have the courage to be faithful. It takes courage and it takes boldness to speak up for God. You see, it's crazy, but it's not easy to brag on God, because the people that often we brag to don't understand that. The scriptures tell us that. The scales have not been removed from their eyes, but their best chance is to hear us brag on God. This morning, we're going to have two invitations like we have been. One of those invitations is this. I think there's three groups of people this morning in the sanctuary. There's some of us this morning who could use the courage and the boldness to brag on God. I think there's others of us this morning who could, group number two, that we could use help in controlling our tongue. And then group number three is those of us who could use the courage to brag on God and the help to control our tongues. Here's what I'd ask you this morning, just like we've been doing. If you're in group number one that you say, hey, I could really use the boldness and the courage to brag on God, I'd like you to come down here to the front. If you're in group two that you say, hey, I need help in controlling my tongue in what I say and the life that I breathe or the death that I breathe, I'd invite you to come to the front. And if you're in group three that you need help with both of those, I'd invite you to come to the front now. Is that you? Can you use help in any of those? Are you group one who just needs courage and boldness? Are you group two who needs control? Or are you group three that needs both? The truth is, most of us, the biggest group is group three. I'm not going to ask you to testify. I'm not going to ask you to divide up. Okay, I need all my group ones over here. And I need my group twos. And then my group threes, we better get a big spot. Y'all come up on the stage. I'm just saying, if you're in group one or group two or group three, I want to pray for you this morning. Good. And will you out there join me in praying for these? And here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you out there to pray generally for all of these. And I want to challenge you out there specifically to pray for one of these. You pick one out that you know. Or maybe you don't know them at all, and you pray for them. Good? Let me pray for you this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group. I thank you for their willingness to be bold even this morning. To come down and say, that's a struggle for me. To be bold and to be courageous, or to control my mouth, or both of those things. Lord, I would include myself in this group. I pray that you'd give us all boldness and courage to brag on you, to tell people of the things that we see you do in our lives and in the lives of others and in the life of our church. I pray that you'd give us courage and boldness. Lord, I pray for those of us who sometimes speak before we think. I pray that you would help us to be as the scriptures say, that we'd be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger, for man's wrath does not bring about God's righteousness. Lord, help us to be careful in the things that we say. Lord, I pray that you'd give us strength this week. Give us pause where we need to. Help us to create a new voice for ourselves in the world, one that breathes life on people and that brags on you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming up this morning. As they go back to their seat, the band will make their way this way. If you would stand with us, my invitation to you is this morning. Wherever God has spoken to you this morning, you be faithful. Wherever God has called you this morning, you be faithful. If there's something that Drew or Alex or myself can pray with you about, we would love the opportunity. If there's something that you just need to pray on your own or grab somebody and come and pray at the altar, certainly you do that. If you're here this morning and you say, hey, I'd like to give my heart to Jesus, I could use a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit that the scriptures talk about. You catch one of us this morning and we'll explain to you how easy it is to transition from an eternity headed to this place called hell to an eternity headed to that place called heaven. Let me pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you give us this morning to study your word. I pray that you'd help us to be bold and courageous as we brag on you, and I pray that we would be like David, that we would do it all day long. Lord, give us opportunities this week to brag on you. Lord, help us to control our tongues. Help us to breathe life. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.